Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week emigrated from Iraq, and he was raised in San Diego and later in Detroit. His first business was selling seasoned popcorn as an 8-year-old, and he earned a B.S. in construction management from MSU. In 1998, he and his dad, Louis, formed the Bogey Group, and they bought Lansing's landmark building, Michigan National Tower. He and his wife, Heather, recently donated $5 million to the Henry Ford Health System and MSU Partnership. This philanthropic support is intended to help fund the new Health Sciences Center for Joint Research Work. His name? Ron Bogey. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible with Ron Bogey, a modern-day Horatio Alger Stoyer. Ron, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, it's truly an honor to be here today, and I'm humbled that you've asked me to sit with you.
Your mom and dad are from Iraq. Your dad was a lawyer. Saddam Hussein comes to power with the Ba'ath Party.
Yes.
Your folks have to leave.
Yeah.
They come to San Diego 55 years ago, 1968. 4 months after you're born. Talk about mom and dad and their life in Iraq and then their life the first couple years in America.
Thank you. So mom and dad were sweethearts when they were younger. My dad purposely became friends with my mom's brothers so that he could spend some time with mom in Iraq and being a Chaldean in the Chaldean community. The dating environment wasn't so widely spread. It was more about seeing somebody from afar and then more or less asking for their hand. So my dad worked in a hotel at the front desk, was best friends with my mom's oldest brother, and then in turn spent a lot of time at their house. And over time, he asked for her hand. My older sister, Melody, 2 years older than I, she was born in 1966. I was born in 1968. And my parents, I've always known them just to love each other and have a smile on their face. Yes, Saddam Hussein, when he was in power, there was a window of opportunity in 1968. If you look at the immigration laws and what took place in the United States, there was that gap. And Dad saw that gap and decided to come to the United States, probably against the will of his father. My grandfather, in Chaldean, it's Shamash HaSivu, which is like a deacon. He came in 1929 during the mass depression, actually, 1929. And he actually worked over at the Wonder Bread Factory, which is now the Motor City Casino. And he came on a ship and earned probably about $15 a month, sent back $10, lived off of $5. And he saw that, and he was very disappointed that my dad was going to come to the United States because he thought that's all there was. But my dad, in his fortitude and in his vision, he said, no, I'm going to take my family, my oldest daughter and my son, and we're going to come to the United States. And we came technically on December the 18th of 1968 to Michigan, where my mom's parents were. And coming from Baghdad to Michigan is about going from day to night in the midst of winter. So he said to my mom after a week, I'm going to go visit my cousins in San Diego. I don't really want to stay here in the United States. This isn't for me, but I'm going to stay there for about a week and I'll come back and we'll go back home. So about 6-7 days later, you know, back then there were no cell phones. He called my mom and he says, you know, a little change of plans. Just put a deposit down on a convenience store. I just bought us a little station wagon, put a deposit on an apartment that we'll rent, bring the family over. I got some tickets. We're going to live in San Diego. So my mom, in her gracious way, listens to Dad all the time. And we moved to San Diego for our first 7 years. And we did very well there, you know, modestly, of course. But then Mom always wins. She convinced Dad to come back to Michigan. And in 1975, we came back to Michigan. And we've been here ever since. And it's the best move we've ever made.
Heather, if you're listening, listen to what he just said. Mom always wins. All right. We're going to talk a lot about legendary Louis, your dad.
Thank you.
But what's the biggest thing Mom has taught you?
Mom has taught me one big item that I always will remember and forever have in my mind. Respect. Respect to others. Know that your name is everything that you are as a person. Love before anything else, but truly the respect factor. She holds herself in a very graceful manner, my mom. She's not of many words, but the number one item is to respect others. Others, and not just because they are who they are as a person or their name or their flattery, but respect everybody that you come across.
Okay, so Mom says to your dad, Louis, honey, we're moving back to Detroit. And he says, yes, dear. All right, you're 8 years old, 1976. And you have your first business. You start selling
seasoned popcorn with Lowry's seasoning salt. So I would go to second grade.
Mark Blackwell, I thought he would bring some of that stuff here with us, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I think they patented ever since I've done it, and I don't have any naming rights to it anymore. I should have called it the Bogie Pop. And I would take these bags, and I'd put the Lowry seasoning salt. Of course, my dad would bring it home. It was the Jiffy Pop that you would do, so you'd go back and forth on there, and I'd make about 10 bags in the beginning, and they went quickly. Sold them for a couple dollars, and then I'd get to 20 and 30 bags. So finally, the principal found out about this, Mrs. Barbara Stone and Lone Pine Elementary, and she said, Ron, very ambitious of you. I didn't even understand what the word meant. And she said, but you cannot sell popcorn. You're impacting the bagel sales on Friday. You cannot do this. So I said, no problem. I said, can I get into the bagel sales with you? She goes, Ron, you cannot do any of the sales item. Otherwise, we'll be calling your parents. So my business stopped.
All right. We're talking to Ron Bogie. If you want to learn more, www.bogiegroup.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about something that happened in 1998 that has transformed Lansing and transformed the Bogie family. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Ron Bogie. Ron, the tallest building in Lansing, Michigan National Bank Building, built 1931, iconic, right across the street from the Capitol, 23 stories. 1998, you and Dad buy it. How and why?
It was a Friday, May 8th, 1998. The day will be forever ingrained inside of our minds. It was a day that we prayed, my mother and I, and he calls me my spiritual son, Father Manuel Bogie, my dad's brother. We prayed not to happen. So what took place was as follows. I started in the computer industry in Lansing. After I graduated from Michigan State, there wasn't any development. So when I trained in Sacramento, California for a year, again with the guidance of Father Manuel Bogie, there was another priest who had a computer chain based out of Sacramento. So I went there and I trained for a year. And then after graduating from that, they gave me an opportunity to open my own location. Chose between Grand Rapids, Toledo, and Lansing. I chose Lansing. And we opened our first store in December of 1994. A couple years later, we went and bought a building across the street. About a year and a half later, in 1997, we had an unsolicited offer for a sliver of land for more than we bought the whole building. I was ecstatic. I said, Dad, me and you are partners. I'd like my percentage so I can go buy a home. I was newly married, had a one-year-old daughter living in an apartment. He said, son, you're not taking the money. I'm not taking the money. We're going to do a 1031 exchange, a real estate transaction that you take all of the dollars that you received and you put it into something else so you don't pay taxes. I said, you can do a 1031 exchange. I'm not, Dad. I'd like the money. And he said, son, you're either going to be with me or you're not. And I chose to be with him. And on May 8th of 1998, with a 1031 exchange, we took that money scrounged up every single penny we had, borrowed money from people, and we bought the former Michigan National Tower that was built by R.E. Olds and commenced in 1929, opened in 1931. And forever that day has changed our lives to where we are today.
All right, speaking of which, it's been 25 years.
Yeah.
What has that purchase done for the city of Lansing and also for the Bogie family?
So from that day in the city of Lansing, I feel we've transformed the city of Lansing. We have about $300 million of investment that we've done ever since. There's about 750,000 square feet that we have either assembled, developed, or purchased. We've got we have six different buildings across Lansing, soon to be a very big, exciting opportunity that's going to be coming on board. We did the State Senate building. We developed the new State of Michigan Senate building. We've developed numerous other developments, residential, commercial, office, of course. And we brought the tower to its historic finish. I mean, sitting here in the Fisher Building today, you can really tell in a historic building how much more efforts there are to what takes place. And we've been really able to take the tower to another level. Our newest venture, which again is another tribute to Dad, when the Senate decided to move out of their current building that was a dilapidated, obsolete building, and they'd have to invest tens of millions of dollars, they decided to leave. And they put a bid, and we won the bid for the new Senate building, which is where they are now. But then the bid came out for their building, a 100,000 square foot building, again, right across the street from the state capitol. And ironically, Bud Stoddard, the second and only owner of the tower, former Michigan National Bank president, built the former Farnham building. He actually, there's a tunnel. There's a very usable tunnel on Allegan Street that connects the tower to the Farnham, because at one time, the Stoddard family owned both. And today, we're proud to say we own both. And I've renamed the building the Louie for my dad. It has a 25 by 10 foot mural of Dad that we commissioned the Capitol artist, Joshua Risner. And he built a mural of Dad, interviewed many people, and it's called The Father's Dream. And we'll probably talk about it later on, but just one of many things. But yeah, we've made a very big impact in Lansing, and soon to make another huge announcement that's going to trickle into another $200 million of development in Lansing.
Stay tuned. We'll talk about that mural. 2004, you and Dad buy United Wholesale from Spartan Stores. You paid $17 million. It's a wholesale supplier of food and tobacco products to convenience stores, tobacco shops, and to some of your gas stations as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you keep going, and you create this entity of businesses.
Yeah.
Was it all planned out? How did it happen?
So it's the fundamental aspect of one of Dad's Louie-isms. Pick your partner first, then pick your business. So we're in four industries. We're in the real estate development industry, we're in the lodging industry, distribution industry, and the petroleum industry. $500 million of annual sales, four different states, 600 employees. But you pick your partner first, then you pick your business. In turn, when we bought the distribution business from Spartan, your facts are impeccable. It's coming up on our 20th year anniversary. And we built that business from doing $75 million to we're well over $400 million in sales. And I give a lot of credit to my brother-in-law, Hani Mayo, who married my older sister. He built the company along with our business partner, Neb McCanny. And now there's a succession plan. There's a succession plan for a lot of our industries. And his son, Jacob, is that succession plan. And that distribution business is flourishing. It's a business that is generational, because when you deal directly with all the manufacturers, it's not something that you can really just sell to anybody. Unless somebody's already direct manufactured person, they could really be the only person who buys it. So we look at that industry as an industry that we will own for generations to come.
The Bogie Group today, over 600 people, $500 million in revenue. If you want to learn more, www.bogigroup.com. Okay. There's a lot of Louie-isms, but you heard this one many times. Son, you're fired.
Yeah. too many times, five times. So thank God for my mom who kept hiring me back and Father Manuel Boji. So we'd be in the basement.
Did she give you a raise every time?
No. I think I had to try to get back to even. We'd be in the tower on the basement, and people from the 21st floor would call down to our, I think we had four employees. I was one of them. And they'd call to the maintenance person and say, I hear some rumbling downstairs. Is everything okay? And Keith Kelly, who came with us on board from that first day, he was a former Michigan National employee. He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. Lou and Ron are talking. Talking? That doesn't sound like talking. So Dad and I are passionate. And there were days that he asked me to leave the building, and I respected him, and I did. But like every father and son, we made up right away, and all was good. Thank the Lord.
And Lansing, Southeast Michigan is the better for it, that you've stayed together. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few of these Louisisms. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Brasula with Ron Boji. In the last segment, we talked about the famous mural of Dad, the original handshake, where he's shaking the hand of a mayor. And it's called the original handshake, 25 by 10. So let's take that to another Louisism. My boy, my handshake is all you need.
Yeah. Dad would say it very succinctly. He said, son, my dad's an attorney by trade, so he didn't mean it in any disrespectful fashion. He says, any attorney could put together a document, and any pen, now a keyboard, can change that document. But your handshake can never be changed, son. So when you put it out and you shake someone's hand and you tell them you're going to do something, you're going to do it.
When the Lord shuts a door, he always opens a window.
Yeah, yeah. So there's another Louisism of Dad. Now, that's a common statement, but the way Dad is saying it to us as kids when we were growing up, don't be frustrated by the actions that have taken place today. There's a much bigger reason for that to have happened. Be patient. The window will open.
Another one from Dad. If you're going to think big. The effort is the same. I would argue the effort is easier because you get the better people to join in.
So another one that's happened is a family friend of ours, the father of my close friend, came to my dad back in 2006, 2 years after we bought the distribution business. That's how we got into the petroleum industry in North Carolina. There were 25 gas stations available to be bought. So the broker came to this gentleman and said, why don't you go ahead and buy them? He goes, well, you know what? I'm going to go talk to Uncle Louie, my dad. So he went to my dad and said, why don't we buy three or five of them? He said, Najib, the gentleman, the effort to buy three or five from the bank and all of us is the same effort to buy 25. Let's go buy the 25.
God's ways are not our ways. And a couple weeks ago, we celebrated Father's Day. So when the Lord shuts a door, he always opens a window. Dad had a stroke, March 16th, 2019, 4 years ago. Can't walk, can't talk. What has that taught you?
Yeah. It has, it's taught me a lot. It's taught me to appreciate life in a much different fashion, not only from a health perspective, but what we leave here on this beautiful earth. So it was Saturday, the 16th of March, 2019. They were living with us at that time. They were remodeling their house for the 20th time. And he had just sent my wife and my sisters and my mom to Dubai. He had told them, go to Dubai. I'll pay for the flight and the airline and the hotel. And you men pay for the shopping. I said, Dad, we're worse off. Have you seen how these ladies shop? So when they came home a few days later.
And he said, son, the renovation, I don't care what they buy in Dubai, the renovation is more than the shopping.
So Dad It was a very tragic day, but good things always happen. I would have never known Henry Ford Health System if it wasn't for that day. And that, again, is a tribute to what Heather and I did philanthropically. Henry Ford Health System in Detroit, as I look out the window here, saved my dad's life. Dr. Rahman and Dr. Virales and, again, Dr. Stephen Kalkanis and Mary Jane Vaught and everybody at Henry Ford Health System saved my dad's life. Now, you're right, Jack. He cannot walk and he cannot talk, but he's cognizant to a fault. So it has taught me to really be a different type of leader, a leader of our family. You know, Dad has always been the leader of the family. And it taught me to really take a step back and make sure that my mom understands what's going on, not only from a spiritual standpoint, but from a financial standpoint and from a loving son standpoint. And my sister is the same, and our family, because so many people would come to my dad and, you know, call him Uncle Louie. And I'm in that role today. I would probably say 10 to 15% of my week deals with family members, friends, or others that will come to me for advice as they would ask my dad for advice.
When the Lord shuts a door, he opens a window. All right. There's another developer, Jeff Surnow, who was working with Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Huge project. And he suddenly passes. And you jump in.
Yeah,
tell us about that project.
That's 2015. That was funny. I was just with his son, Sam, a couple days ago. So never met Mr. Surnow, never met Jeff, the father, prominent developer in Birmingham. He went over to Royal Oak and did an exclusive agreement with the city of Royal Oak to build a development there on 11 Mile and Main. His passing, he was in Maui in Hawaii, and he was riding a bicycle. An off-duty police officer struck him and killed him immediately. Months later, we have a joint friend. It's our estate attorney, who happens to be my cousin, Randall Denha. Randy brought the Surnow family and I together. Sam was a young man, 28 years old. His brother Max, they have the Cooper Street biscuits and cookies. He came to me and he said, "Ron, I don't know how to get this done. And I don't have enough experience to get this done." Randy says, "You're all about private-public partnerships," and that's what we are all about. So we went with the Surnows, and we worked hard. And worked almost 3 years to make the development happen. And unfortunately, and I don't blame Sam, in its toughest of days, he said, "Ron, we're not built for this. It's not something we're accustomed to." We had many millions of dollars invested already with no shovel in the ground. No final documents done. And they said, "Ron, if we decided to get out of the deal, what would you do?" And I said, "You would get every single penny back. You just tell me and you will forever be with me no matter what." And a day later, he called and said, "Ron, we can't do this." And I wired him the money within hours. And they were not our partner during it all. It's funny, we just talked about it, just like I said, a couple days ago. And he sits and he says, "Wow, we should have stuck through." I says, "Sam, you cannot be a Monday morning quarterback. There are no regrets in life." Another Louisism. A mistake is only when you do it twice. So we'll do things again together.
All right. I quote you now. "We revitalize communities."
Yeah.
So then you go down to this rundown place called Birmingham. Okay? I think in September of 2018.
Yeah.
Six projects, $200 million.
Yeah.
Please.
So Birmingham is one of the 10 most walkable communities in the United States. It has so much vibrance of live, work, and play. But what's really happened in the past, I'd say 5 to 7 years, it's become an experience to be there in the live, work, and play. And it became a lifestyle. And I think we've been a part of that. It all really happened with Victor Soroki and I, and again, the Ricolta family, when Restoration Hardware, RH, these are my two business partners in this development that we're doing along with David Trott. Restoration Hardware, RH, furniture store, makes these large galleries. They wanted to come out of Somerset Mall, where their old style of showcasing their product. And they in turn chose us to be their developer. And that's really spurred all of this economic development in Birmingham. They build these 50,000 square foot galleries that have a restaurant and barista bar on the rooftop level. And that's one of the six developments. The other one is directly behind it, where we're with the same partners that I just described to you. We're building a major mixed-use development, about an $80 million development with office, residential for rent, active rooftop, restaurants on the ground floor, and parking below grade, all next to RH. So it's a beautiful contiguous way of the way they make their outdoor landscaping and environment look. We built our new corporate headquarters on the corner of Old Woodward and Maple, the former Panera Bread site. It's a historic building built in 1889, and we brought it back after 135 years. We brought it back to its original finish and luster. And Crate and Barrel is on the first floor. We have them, they moved into town. We occupy the second floor, 7,500 square feet, and we've got other tenants there. Just developed, going ground up next to Market Restaurant. We're currently building, it's being erected right now, a three-story mixed use. On the first floor is a restaurant. So Sammy I from Phoenicia and Forrest and Layla here in Detroit is building a supper club. And he's calling it Wilder's, named after his son. And it's a high-end supper club where it's, you know, maitre d' style, tuxedo, all tableside service. Second floor is office. Third floor is a residential unit, one unit, 3,200 square foot, either for rent or for sale. Great outdoor balconies overlooking the park. And then other developments. We bought the former Linda Dresner building. We redid Serena Lilly is there, high-end furniture. A real mecca of furniture, finishes, furnishings is coming into Birmingham, along with, again, phenomenal eateries, great shops, great living, and great office space.
We should start some Ronnie-isms. And the first one might be, quote, today's expensive, tomorrow's cheap. We're with Ron Bougie, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist, who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the CEO of the Bougie Group. If you want to learn more, www.bogigroup.com, Ron Bougie. All right, August the 21st, you go back to Lansing, and you buy the former Masonic Temple. Tell us about that iconic structure.
So it's owned by Cooley Law School. Cooley Law School was a very vibrant law school in Lansing, and times have changed, and it's not so vibrant, unfortunately. Cooley has four dominant buildings inside of Lansing, their corporate administrative office. They have a library building. They have an administrative building. And then they have the Masonic Temple building, which used to be the classroom. And again, very iconic-looking historical building, very similar to many Masonic Temple buildings across the United States, all built out of limestone columns. Beautiful building. Two different floors of auditorium style. I knew there was something there in buying the temple, so it was a calculated risk. And in turn, we have been looking at different opportunities. We first looked at the, very similar to here in the Fisher Building, we looked at maybe performing arts to build maybe the orchestra, or maybe something similar to like the Wharton Center in East Lansing, and bring that over to Lansing. But it just never panned out. So the city of Lansing has been working on an opportunity for a new city hall. And we have submitted bids many times, four to be exact. And if everything goes right, there is conversation right now that building could be the new City Hall for the city of Lansing. And it would go inside of that Masonic Temple. So it's not public yet, but I sort of just talked a little bit now. It was all in an open bid process. The city is working on trying to get some grants from the legislature themselves. And if they're successful, they will finally be able to move forward with a new City Hall. And one would ask, well, what does that do? What does that do? That's a stimulus effect. That's a $200 million opportunity. Why? If the city of Lansing is able to be victorious in receiving a grant from the legislature, it would allow them the funds to be able to move into the Masonic building as its new City Hall. The city of Lansing already approved $175 million millage to move courts and lockups. So they're already coming out of the current City Hall. Current City Hall sits on the most perfect piece of land, right on the corner of Capitol and Michigan Avenue. The current City Hall, which they would move out of, would be a new hotel. So the plans have already been in the works for this. Be a high-end hotel, full amenities. A developer out of Chicago has proposed it a few times. And then you say, well, what does that do? That opens up the convention center, the Lansing Convention Center, to be redone, made larger. Why? There are numerous conventions that the city of Lansing is not able to get because of the size of the convention center and the amount of hotel space. So by bringing this hotel, that would be the third one in downtown, which would then be able to bring more conventions. So all of these dominoes happen with that opportunity. Now, some would say, are you lucky or are you good? Sometimes I'm a little bit of both. And buying the Masonic Temple could really be the nucleus for many dominoes to fall.
Lee Trevino used to say, the harder I worked, the luckier I got. Mm. Okay, another Ronnie-ism. The P3s.
Yeah.
Private, public, partnerships.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the essence of our company. Taking truly the best of both sides, the private side, a development organization, and the public side, whether it's a state government, municipality, or even a organization such as educational or healthcare. And it's really taking the attributes of a development company and being able to work closely with the needs and wants of the other side. So I really call it another item I commonly say is win-win situation. Private-public partnerships allow for a win-win situation. The public side that takes place really wants something that the private side is not very familiar with their wants and needs. So you've got to do your research and understand it. We're doing a big private-public partnership with McLaren Health System in Detroit, in Lansing. They just moved into their new state-of-the-art 300-bed hospital, and we have control of their former hospital. So we're making it a behavioral health campus. Again, a private-public partnership. And on that behavioral health campus is the different aspects of behavioral health. But as a hospital, that's not what they do from a development standpoint. But from our standpoint, that's what we do. But behavioral health is not what we do as a developer, so we bring on the health side. So you bring the best of both sides.
In a previous segment, you talked about that Henry Ford health system saved your dad's life.
They did.
Last Louisism. It's more blessing to give than to receive. And in that vein, you and Heather, about a year ago, announced a $5 million gift to the Henry Ford Health MSU partnership. What is that?
So it's funny, my 11-year-old had no idea this was going on. We had everybody in the backyard, and I made the announcement. And she looked at her mom. She goes, did Dad just give $5 to Henry Ford in Michigan State? She said, sweetheart, we gave a little more than that.
Just a few more zeros.
Just a few more zeros. She's a very intelligent woman. By no means is that anything. But, Henry Ford. Henry Ford saved my dad's life. I was on the sixth floor of their hospital, the ICU unit, and I'd look outside, I'd gaze. I spent 2 weeks there. Every two nights, I'd sleep next to him, and then my sister would sleep next to him for a night, and then I'd go back for two nights. And I would just gaze out in the morning, and I would think, and I would say, what would Dad do? So Henry Ford also has a very special place in our business side. We did the major development in Royal Oak that we talked about earlier. And we built a 145,000 square foot spec office building along with a brand new city hall, police headquarters, downtown park, and a parking deck. And as we were constructing the building, literally the foundations were being placed, Henry Ford came to us and said, we want to be in Royal Oak and we can't make a deal. You're already coming out of the ground. We'd like to take this whole 145,000 square foot building and make our new state-of-the-art medical office building, an ambulatory facility. So I shut down the site literally for 2 months and turned everything around and did my transaction with Henry Ford from a real estate side. So again, that was in 2017. So when Dad's episode happened in 19, I had the blessings to know a few people over there. And with that, with the business side, with the accident that happened to Dad and being a patient's advocate, I took that along with my love and admiration for Michigan State and Heather's permission, and we did the philanthropic give.
Ron, millions of young people, infants, have immigrated to America. You're a one in a million. Why you?
I commonly say to people that when you look in the mirror, you do not just see yourself. You see the entire team around you. And an immigrant who comes to the United States is no different than someone born in the United States. But one thing I think an immigrant is different, especially from our Chaldean community, is the resilience that we have inside of us. Whether that comes from the faith, whether that comes from the instilling upon your parents and how close of a family you are. But there's a certain resilience inside of you of making success, of working hard with morals and ethics that take place. That by no means do I mean it to anyone else that doesn't. But I just think an immigrant who comes to the United States appreciates that they were not born here, but that they live here and have the opportunity for their children to be born here and prosper. And I'm honored and humbled to be an American citizen.
One of the greatest songs, in my opinion, of all time was Neil Diamond's Coming to America. Tell us about America.
So America is the land of the free, home of the brave, and the opportunities are endless. If you do not take that opportunity and grow from it, then truly you have not succeeded in life, because there's nothing that can't be done in America. Nothing at all. And I thank the Lord every day that we have our health, that we have the opportunity, my family, our relationships, but truly what America brings to us, freedom. And that freedom is something very important in successes of life.
Your dad can't talk anymore, but every time he's around you and watches what's going on, he's thinking, son, I'm proud of you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jack. It was an honor to be with you today.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoil.
They come to America today. My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty. Of thee I sing. Of thee I sing.